Good morning, Wisconsin. Good morning, world. It's a new day. Thanks for kicking it off with us right here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Got your host, James J. I am joined by our head of news, Melissa K.
Good morning.
Our conscience around here, Beth Hebhager.
Good morning.
And, of course, joining us, the best listeners to radio, all of you. Thanks for joining us, everybody. We made it through the weekend. We did it. We survived. Good job, everybody. Good job. Let's find out how Brittany did. Brittany, how are you? How'd you survive the weekend?
I survived it. It was a little cold, but
yeah.
It needs warm up. I'm smiling.
Good, honey. Very, very good to hear and very happy to have you join us. Brittany, what has Mother Nature got in store for us today?
So today we've got some slippery stretches, of course, throughout the area. There's a little bit of freezing drizzle and our temperatures are so cold. So some icy spots, but otherwise just mostly cloudy and windy. But the winds are coming out of the south, gusting up to 25 miles per hour, and that's going to warm us up today. So we're doing nothing but warming all day long. We're in the teens now. We're going to be into the low 30s by lunch. And we're going to sit there for the rest of the week into the low 30s, basically. So we just erased the negatives out in front of those numbers, and we'll sit pretty. But we've got a storm, too, that's causing some problems down south. Mm. Here for us, we don't have to worry too much. We do have a tiny, tiny bit of freezing rain and snow chance tomorrow morning and into the afternoon. It's going to mainly hit further south, but we do have a chance for that. So possibly a slippery commute tomorrow morning. Otherwise, we warm up to the upper 30s by Wednesday and Thursday, and we're looking at rain. Rain headed our way.
So we are going to get hit by that, sounds like it. That what we were worrying about last week with some of the temperatures, creating their snow into rain and all that.
Yes, unfortunately. We are not looking at the heavy, heavy rain. I mean, down in the southern part of the state, they could potentially get an inch of rainfall. The flooding problems, it's melting and all of that. They got a lot more snow, too. For us, I think we're kind of lucky that we missed the heavy snowfall. And then we're kind of lucky we're missing the heaviest of the rain.
Yeah.
So much, much more of a problem further south in the state. But here for us, we'll see slippery roads, rain by midweek, melting, and it will flip to snow as the system pushes out, but it won't be a lot of snow. We'll get a little dusting as it leaves us alone, but yep. We're going to go above freezing, unfortunately.
With the amount of rain that we could be seeing this week, should we just be embracing it and doing a real Seattle kind of vibe? Like all of us should start wearing flannels more and embracing the Seattle. Is that the best way to counter the rain, Brittany? Just asking.
I think we should try that. That might
work. Okay. All right. Let's try it. Let's give it a shot, everybody.
The snow boots for the rain boots.
Yeah. There you go. Nice, Beth. Nice. Already on point, Beth. Already on point. Brittany, before we let you go, I did have a real quick question for you. As far as being a meteorologist, I imagine this is something we can tell just in the little time we've gotten to know you. This is something you're passionate about, you care about. But is it something you feel in your bones? When the weather's coming, bad weather coming, and so, I feel it in my knees. My left knee acts up every time there's the storm coming. Do you have anything like that, Brittany? Do you have any?
Oh, I do. Yes, my back acts up. I can feel it in my bones.
Okay, all right. Very cool. Well, not cool. Very interesting. I feel for you. Right. That's interesting, though. Huh, okay.
What about you guys? Can you feel it?
Melissa?
No.
Same here. I don't even know when it's raining half the time. I love the weather. I think it's so interesting and fascinating. One of my favorite things to do is have the Weather Channel on in the background and just catching. I would one of my dream interviews is Jim Cantore. I would love to interview Jim Cantore. Yeah. I've got a billion questions for that guy. But I can't tell anything. Brittany's the only one that gives me a heads up on weather. Otherwise, I would be lost. How about you, Beth?
For me, it's when there's moisture and cold in the air, then my bunion starts to throb.
Oh, man, that ain't right.
No, it hurts.
Oh, that's not right. No. Well, thank you, Brittany. We appreciate that. We're looking forward to hanging out again tomorrow.
Sounds good. Talk to you then.
Have a good one. Brittany joining us with our weather every morning right in this time slot, and we are very thankful for it. I have a great time hanging out with Brittany. Having a good time hanging out with the two of you. And Melissa, we've got Beth with us again.
I know, that's exciting.
It's good to be back.
It was very interesting to see the Kitchens Open script and see Seth's name just scratched off and Beth just
thrown
it
in. It was one letter difference, James.
Yeah.
It didn't, one letter.
Yeah, didn't have to do a whole lot of editing. Yeah, Melissa didn't have to do a whole lot there. And I do bring up the Kitchens Open shamelessly because I did. It is a Monday, and we will have that for you in the 9 o'clock hour. Looking forward to it. It's going to be a lot of fun. We've got other great stuff lined up for you. Of course, we're going to have our birthday and anniversary club coming up in a little bit. Looking forward to diving into that. A new device that cures your allergies. We'll figure out if
really?
That's... Yeah, don't get too excited yet, though. We'll see how that goes. We'll see how that goes. There's a couple other ones, like TikTok is arguing about how to pronounce broccoli.
Does it matter?
Yeah, I don't know. We'll get into that one. We, of course, again, kick off the 9 o'clock hour. We'll get into the Kitchens Open. After that, a little bit of entertainment news for you. And I want to touch on a couple of other things with the two of you. There is an interesting article that I came across about, where was it? Here it is. The four easy ways to burn calories, just four simple, easy ways to burn calories.
Excellent.
So that should be fun. Should be an interesting one. I also came across one, the smell of women's tears make men less aggressive.
What?
It's a study. It's an article that came to us. I just want to go ahead and dive into that one. I have not dove too deeply into it, but we'll see what that one's got for us. Plenty of other good things going on. I want to catch up with Beth real quick. Beth, how have you been? How have things been going for you?
They've been crazy busy, but yeah. Good other than that.
Good. Very good. Very good. How were services yesterday?
Worship went very well. We celebrated our congregational anniversary. So the congregation has been in the Wisconsin Rapids community for 135 years now. And as a part of that, we showed our appreciation to all of the members who participate in any part of the ministry of our congregation. So it was a wonderful time of celebration with a potluck meal afterwards, which, you know, when you get a whole bunch of church people together baking, it's going to be good.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So it went extremely well. We were nice to have that fellowship time together.
Very good to hear. Very good to hear. If you would like to hear more about that or hear Beth's services, I encourage you to do so. Beautiful. You can find out more at wrmoravian.org. Mm-hmm. You can also go to YouTube, type into your search bar, Wisconsin Rapids Moravian Church, and follow along right there.
Yes.
You had a great shawl yesterday. My dad was watching some of it. It was nice.
Thank you.
Looking forward to talking more with you about that and the Wisconsin Rapids Winter Farmers Market before we wrap up today.
Yeah, that would be great.
Mel, how was your weekend?
It was busy. I went to Madison to visit a couple of my high school friends, and we did our annual Christmas gathering, the three of us.
Very nice.
So, driving, but otherwise it was a pretty decent weekend.
Yeah, very good to hear. Very good to hear. I apologize, Melissa. I meant, how was Kevin's weekend? I'm joking,
of course. He felt ignored.
Did he?
Well, because he was home by himself all day Saturday because Aaron was working too, so he needed lots of pets when everybody got home.
And he's going to, he may have a few more questions for you today than normal. Melissa, I don't know if you saw, but on our National Day of Calendar, it is Answer Your Cat's Questions Day.
Oh, that's why he was so talky this week.
Yes, there you go. Yeah.
There you go. See, explains everything.
Yep. Good luck with that.
So does that mean you have to meow it back?
Yeah. I don't know. Do you speak cat back or is it insulting if you speak cat back?
I don't know.
I don't know how to pronounce half the words of cat.
Exactly.
So I would feel like I'd be messing that up and just be insulting the cat. Have fun with Kevin today. God bless. And thanks both of you for joining us and putting up with me.
How was your weekend, James?
I was busy. It was a hectic weekend. I don't know what weekends are anymore. Mm. I've looked at the last three weekends I've had and I haven't had a moment to they've just been leading one thing to another. With the podcast I do with my daughter, we only have so much time to record, and we both have very busy schedules, so we tend to do about a lot of that on the weekend, is great. I'm not complaining. Just it doesn't really feel like a weekend.
Right.
I kind of feel like I'm just kind of going from one thing to the next as far as tasks or jobs go, but that's life. That's how it goes. And I asked Brittany, and thank you for asking, Beth. I asked Brittany that question. question earlier about feeling it in her bones or in her knee or that, because I want to ask the audience, I want to ask as well, I want to bring it up because of this article that I came across. I thought that was pretty interesting. So first, feel free to call up 715-424-2600. Do you feel it in your knees or something when the storm is coming? So here, it's a little a bit of, it's this is kind of an interesting article, I thought. Someone polled thousands of Americans and asked if they think joint pain and headaches can really predict storms. 52% said yes, 24% said no, and another 24% said they weren't sure. So almost half of us think it might be not so much real, not scientifically based, maybe necessarily. Right. Around one in four people claim they can feel it in their joints when the weather's changing, and one in six said that they can tell because a headache is coming on. So is it really a thing, or are people just delusional, or just, you know, coincidence, if you will? Turns out there really is some science to back this up. When a storm is on the way, the air pressure drops, and that can cause the tissue in your body to swell up and irritate your joints, especially if you have arthritis. And yes, it can also cause headaches. So, it turns out my papa was not just trying to feed us a bunch of BS or anything. No, no. My papa, it was his right knee. He would feel it. He would feel it in. And sure enough, there'd be a storm. Like, and I kind of just always thought, well, the guy just, my papa loved the weather and like paid attention to the weather a lot. So I just figured he was messing with me or us as grandkids and everything. But I genuinely wonder, because I know he used to say that when he was a truck driver, that was one of his ways of knowing, okay, I got to take it easier on the roads today or something, because it's going to be a little hectic out and stuff. My knee's acting up. I just thought it was really interesting. But I love that there's a bit of science behind this. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, barometric pressure really does have effect on the body. My older sister had tendonitis in her elbow because she played so much volleyball, and she could always tell when there was rain or something coming.
Interesting. It's an interesting idea, too, to think of like all weather just being based on this. I like the idea of we just give up meteorologists, you know, going to meteorology school and researching weather and all that. We just get a bunch of, you know, older people together that have different ailments. Like, Tony, how you feeling today? Knee's fine, Bob. All right, cool. Weather's going to be all right today, everybody. That's the end of forecast.
There you go.
Hey, how's sports, Biff? How are you? Know, and just moving on. With I like the idea of that's all we do for weather from now on. Like, oh, that's it. And we'd still want Brittany doing her weather, though.
Yes, absolutely.
We definitely still want that. We'll take a time out. We will come back and get into some mischief and some fun with our birthday and anniversary club coming up on The Morning Show. It's Beth, Melissa, and James taking you through right here at WFHR. It's time to do some celebrating with our, well, with all of you here at WFHR. We hope you're having a great one out there, everybody. Thanks for joining us, and thanks so much for getting us your birthdays and anniversaries so we can celebrate with you. Time to open up the WFHR Birthday and Anniversary Club. Let's go ahead and jump into the club and have some fun. First, we want to collect names. Get us those names, everybody. info@wfhr.com, james.mailoff@civicmedia.us. You can, of course, direct message us on Facebook, your birthdays and anniversaries. Hit us up that way anytime, and like the pages while you're at it. And, of course, call up and join the conversation, 715-424-2600. If you're listening to us on the Civic Media app, I know for a fact that you are just two touches away from calling up and joining the conversation. I believe that it is very important for us to be able to, especially in this day and age, to be able to, when we're saying things on the air, back them up. It's very, very important. So when I tell people to use the Civic Media app and that it's only a touch or two away, I can't say that and not have tried it or used it myself.
Exactly.
So this weekend, while it was a very busy weekend and my daughter Bree and I had a lot of recording to do, we took the time to test out the Civic Media app by calling up Seth and Over the Back Fence.
Nice.
I don't know if Seth thought it was nice, Melissa. I'm not sure how he felt about it. It was one of those things where it's really funny in your head, and then you start doing it, and you're like, oh, no. Oh, I don't know if this is going over well. I don't.
He rolls with it well.
He always does. He puts up with me. He puts up with a lot. But yeah, I do know for a fact it works very well. Call right up and join the conversation, everybody. And download the app wherever you get your apps. Beth, since it's been a while, I'm going to put you on the spot. Can you give me a one or a two?
Let's go with two.
All right. Gives us our qualifier. And we can get right into the celebrating. And what a great birthday to celebrate, to kick off our week. A good friend of all of ours, Mr. Joel Goodness.
Happy birthday, Joel.
Happy 27th birthday, Joel. Hope it's a great 27 for you. What?
With many, many years experience.
Yes. Joel is an actor, so of course he's forever 27. He's
Absolutely,
always going to be 27
yes.
or 28. He's let's be honest. He looks 27.
He
looks great. It's not fair. Whatever age Joel is, it's not fair how damn good he looks. We appreciate not only Joel, what he has put into our communities with his entertainment and other work that he has done in this area and throughout Wisconsin, really.
Mm-hmm.
But Joel has joined us on these airwaves many times. He's been a guest of ours on Director's Cut.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, he has been on the Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater stage and the CWAC stage.
Yep.
And just about any stage from here to the top of the state to the bottom of the state.
Mm-hmm.
That's true. And he has the show coming up, Leading Ladies.
Yes.
Yeah. Hard at work.
February 2nd through the 11th.
We'll talk more about that. We get closer to it because I want to make sure to highlight that and highlight Joel, one of my favorite people I've ever worked with, period,
mm-hmm.
In any industry in any way. And Joel has been was very, very helpful with me in the cabaret auditions and everything. And I hadn't had a lot of training for those. And Joel was incredibly influential for me on that.
Mm-hmm.
Big fan of Mr. Mm-hmm. Goodness. Enjoy your day, Joel. And we wish a happy birthday to John Hillstead.
Happy birthday, John.
John, a former educator in the Wisconsin Rapids Public Schools, and he's our qualifier today.
Congratulations.
We hope you have a great day, John. Enjoy it. Let's take a look at our celebrity list. Let's see here. Oh, boy.
Not a lot.
No. It's thin pickings, everybody. Oh, Guy Fieri is 56.
Yeah. He is one of my favorites on the Food mm-hmm. Network.
Yeah. Did you notice, because they brought back Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives. That's it. Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives. I can never remember
triple
the
D.
final D. I always say Triple D because I can never remember final D. They brought it back, and he's just kind of like in his own clothes now.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he doesn't have the fiery shirt anymore or anything. He's still got the bleached hair and everything. Yeah. And the sunglasses. But
mm-hmm.
he's kind of got... I was looking forward to this moment for him because I've heard him talk about it in interviews. He only was wearing that getup because that's just what they put him in his first show, and it was successful. It's like when a band, like, hey, we're going to name ourselves Hootie and the Blowfish. Nobody will care. And then all of a sudden you get famous off of that, you know, mm-hmm. and that's what people know you by, so you got to kind of stick with that name.
Right.
It's kind of like what happened to him where, I'll just throw this funny, you know, flaming hot shirt on, and pretty much that's now what everybody knows him for. So the fact that he's able to kind of dress in whatever he wants now and more, you know, that I think actually that's a really cool thing for him. And I'm sure he's enjoying it.
Mm-hmm.
That show is awesome.
It is.
It's a great show.
And it's not the only show he has.
No. What I like about that show, and correct me if I'm wrong, because I haven't seen every episode, but I've never seen him do an episode where he doesn't come away from that diner supporting that local business and trying to encourage people to check it out.
Oh, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. I guess that even if there wasn't where he went to a diner and it didn't go very well, they probably mm-hmm. wouldn't air the episode. But I have a feeling that he would still find something to a silver lining or something positive to say about it.
Mm-hmm. He also tends to sign someplace in the restaurant so that if you go and visit, you can look for his signature there.
I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah.
Cool. Oh, wow. Is that cool? That is very cool. I didn't know that. Yeah. He's
did
one
you know
of the
that,
good ones.
Did you know that he began with his love affair with food? Is the way they put this, selling soft pretzels from a three-wheel bicycle cart. And he called it, at age 10, he called it the awesome pretzel cart.
That is awesome. That's great. Oh, that is very cool. I didn't know any of that. That's real cool. DJ Jazzy Jeff is 59. Parents just don't understand. Girls ain't nothing but trouble. Summertime. There is no Fresh Prince without DJ Jazzy Jeff.
Absolutely.
Will Smith himself would say that.
Mm-hmm.
That is the case for many, many music acts, especially rappers. Most every rapper has a great DJ or a great DJ friend
mm-hmm.
Creating beats for him, giving him something to rap over. And DJ Jazzy Jeff has a nice career, even outside of Will Smith and everything.
Oh, yeah.
Producing and that. One of the greats, Diane Lane, is 59 today.
Yes.
Wow.
Diane Lane has done just a couple of films in her career. Unfaithful, The Perfect Storm, Rumblefish, The Outsiders, Judge Dredd, Man of Steel. She's been in all those movies as Superman's mom. Just incredible, incredible. I can keep going on Diane Lane's career. And we wouldn't. I don't know if we have enough time in our show.
Oh, my favorite, though, is Under the Tuscan Sun.
Oh, good choice. Good choice.
Love her in that.
Yeah, yeah. I love her side look and her side responses. I know that might sound silly, but think about how many times you see an actor turning their head or to the side.
Mm-hmm.
It's quite often, and especially in theater.
Mm-hmm.
She is incredible with the side glance, with the side look, with so much of that stuff. It may seem silly, but it's something that I've studied quite a bit, and hers is masterful. It's a part of her delivery.
Yep.
And her delivery is legendary. It's incredible. She's very, I almost think Diane Lane's been underrated.
Oh, absolutely.
In many ways.
Mm-hmm.
Just because when she really hit the running and when she really hit the stage and everything, there was quite a few actresses out at that time that kind of got a little bit more notoriety for whatever reasons than she did. But yeah, great actress, great actress. Linda Blair is 65, another great actress. Superstar, of course, The Exorcist.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, Linda Blair is one of the actors we use in the community as being typed.
Yeah.
And what can happen from that. Because Linda Blair, good actress, just did The Exorcist, and she was almost too good in The Exorcist, and it kind of just bombarded the rest of her career, where she couldn't go into a casting session and people didn't see that little girl from The Exorcist.
Mm-hmm.
But a good actor. Let's see here. Teddy Gentry is 72. Teddy Gentry from Alabama.
Oh.
Steve Perry is 75. Original Journey singer and Rock and Roll Hall of Famer.
Oh, my goodness.
Got one of those voices. you don't need to know that it's Steve Perry singing Oh Sherry.
Mm-hmm.
You know that's Steve Perry.
Mm-hmm.
That's definitely him. Like, he's got one of those voices. Let's see here. And some people are no longer with us, like the great John Hurt, born in this day in 1940, passed away in 2017. Wandmaker Garrick Ollivander in Harry Potter movies. He was the voice of the dragon on Merlin. He was John Merrick in The Elephant Man. He's the guy in Alien who has his chest bursted open. John Hurt, one of the greatest like character actors and just actors mm-hmm. that I've ever seen. I don't want to put him out there as one of the greats of all time, but for me, he was one of the greatest I've ever seen.
Mm-hmm. He was more of that kind of working actor
than
notoriety.
Mm-hmm. His forming the way he delivered the words, like his delivery, his pronunciation,
mm-hmm.
always stood
mm-hmm.
out to me. I always loved the way he spoke.
Mm-hmm.
There's certain actors like Walter Herzog and that it's their voice that you really enjoy. With him, it's John Hurt. It was his pronunciation. It was the way he would just pronounce simple words
mm-hmm.
that I even liked. Good actor. One of my favorite frontmen of all time, Michael Hutchinson, born in this day in 1960, an excess lead singer and songwriter. This incredible body of work from Michael
mm-hmm.
Hutchinson. Of course, there's all the songs with NXS that people love and I love and all that. If you're curious and you haven't heard it, one of my favorite songs growing up is called The Passenger from The Stooges or Iggy Pop.
Okay.
It's a very, very interesting song that's been covered a lot over the years. Michael Hutchinson did a cover of The Passenger on a Batman Forever soundtrack.
Oh.
And it is amazing. It's so good. Oh, it's so good. Bill Bixby, born in this day in 1934. My Favorite Martian, The Courtship of Eddie's Father, and of course, The Incredible Hulk.
Yeah.
And the legend, Sam Cooke, born in this day in 1931, passed away way too young in 1964.
Mm-hmm.
Chain Gang, Cupid. Cupid was one of my first favorite like love songs. I love that song.
Oh, really?
Twisting in the Night, Another Saturday Night, but of course, You Send Me. You Send Me is the one that I think
mm-hmm.
a lot of us think of right away. And that is going to do it for all of the birthdays and anniversaries for celebrities. One more time, our local celebrity, and really a celebrity in our hearts, Joel Goodness, wishing him another birthday. Happy birthday, Joel.
Happy birthday, Joel.
And a happy birthday to our qualifier, Mr. John Hillstead.
Happy birthday, John.
Enjoy your day. Encourage you to have fun and enjoy. Celebrate. And I know it's a Monday, but celebrate all week long.
Yeah.
Celebrate all week
may
long.
As well.
Enjoy. Yeah, yeah. It's winter. Why not? Mm-hmm. We'll take a time out. We'll come back and we'll do some. We'll have some fun with another article I got here about where is that here? Oh yeah, this new device that can help you with allergies. We're going to get into that when we come back on the morning show here at WFHR Locally Grown Radio. Welcome back, everyone. Morning show here at WFHR Locally Grown Radio. Melissa, Beth, and James here with you. We hope you're having a great Monday out there. Thanks for kicking it off with us, everybody. There's a new gadget called NasoCalm that just hit Kickstarter. You just strap it on your face for 15 minutes a day, and it supposedly makes your allergies a lot better. But does it work? And electrocuting your nose. That's how it works.
What?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's got six electrodes, three for each nostril, that deliver small electronic shocks to stimulate the muscles in your nose. Did anybody else's nose twitch when I said that? Because I just immediately had to like rub my nose real quick. Mm-hmm. They claim making your nose muscles contract and relax can help clear your sinuses and let you breathe easier. It's small enough to take with you, so you can use it anywhere. The promo video shows a guy using it at his desk at work. The downside is it's pretty bulky on your face, so you will be the weird one at your office. Yeah. But if you're like me and you're already the weird one at the office, well, I mean, what's the worst?
Lean into it.
Yeah, exactly. They plan to sell it for $100, but you can get it for $60 if you back them on Kickstarter. They claim it'll ship by March, just in time for allergy season. I am going to try to pull up a photo here to show Beth.
Oh my goodness.
It looks like a
looks like you're trying to be a pig.
It does look like a pig nose. I have to admit, I don't want it to sound stereotypical to pigs. I apologize to any pigs out there listening. We're huge in the pig market.
It's not the same color. It's more of a grayish,
very
whitish
true.
Color.
It's a good point. It's a good point.
But yeah, it's got the
bridge. You're not trying to be Penelope.
No.
Nobody's going to call you Charlotte. Nobody's going to, you know.
But if you want to reenact Pigs in Space, now you've got the costume for it.
Pigs in Space. It does look very pig-like. That is such a good call right away.
Oh, my goodness.
If it works, I think that a lot of people aren't going to care about a lot of this other stuff. Like, you know, anybody that struggles with allergies, they don't
care. They're miserable.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So I think that part's noteworthy. Any attempts to try to help with that, I think, are noteworthy and interesting. That being said, I don't know how popular this is going to be. I don't know.
I would recommend doing it at home.
Yeah.
Rather than at the office. And I can think of a lot less painful ways to try to deal with allergies.
Electrocute your nose.
Yeah. I don't know about that.
Doesn't sound like fun.
No. And the other part of this too is that it's not 100%. Like it doesn't do it doesn't completely cure your allergies. It's just kind of like a stop gap sort of thing.
It's a relief. Just,
yeah,
it's an allergy
it's a relief,
not a prevention.
Yes. Good way to put it. Which is important, and I think especially considering that, you know, with stuff like this, you're always going to have the naysayers. You're always going to have a pushback. And then you add on to the fact that it's still in the early days of I mean, they're a Kickstarter, so they're still kind of hammering this out, I would believe. So there's that part of it, too. All of these factors, I don't know how well this is going to do. But oftentimes with inventions, what we in these stages and what we're seeing is sometimes the early steps. Maybe a year from now, maybe 5 years from now, we have a device that's like this that we don't even notice. And, these were the early steps to get to that. I think that part of the invention process is interesting and cool. Not enough to put this on my nose, but I mean, it kind of cool, kind of interesting.
And
at least.
I'd love to see the science behind it. Is that what led to them developing something like this? Is there actual science that if you contract your nose muscles inside your nose that it does help? I don't know.
I also love the idea of just a couple friends getting together and being like, I wonder how many people we can get to wear this thing. Who would actually sign up and wear? Wow, actually, a lot of people are doing it. I don't know. That's interesting.
I don't know. Allergies are so miserable, though, for some people. Mm-hmm. They might be willing to try just about anything.
Absolutely.
I could see that. I haven't dealt with a lot of allergies in my life, but just a little bit the last 2 years, I've had a bit of, I think, pollen. I don't know. Spring comes around, and last two springs, I've been hit pretty hard with mm-hmm. something mm-hmm. where I'm even more stuffed up than I normally am, and I already have a hard time breathing through my nose. And in those moments, it's a heck of a lot worse, so I don't know. I'm curious to know if not only if this will work, but if it will be popular. If people will you know,
right?
If something works, we've already proven we don't mind looking ridiculous. My brother has to wear one of those sleep apnea things mm-hmm. When he sleeps and everything. He don't mm-hmm. worry about how he looks or nothing like that. He's just happy he can sleep.
And with allergies, I use the neti pot often to try to clear and drain out, and that's not a pretty process.
No, I hear you.
But it works.
So I do, too. I've been using one for about 5 or 6 years, and it's a real help for me in the mornings. Mm-hmm. You guys think my voice is bad in the mornings, especially later in the week as it is. It'd be a lot worse without that neti pot. Mm-hmm. The only problem is nobody really showed me how to use it originally. And the first couple times I started to use it, I thought I was going to drown. That's just not the way you want to go out. Did you hear how James went out? Yeah, neti pot. He drowned it from a neti pot. I didn't know you could do that. I didn't know that was possible. It's not possible. It's just me.
Just always, always, always boil water before you use it for that.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. Even if it's
because it comes in contact with your brain.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a really good note, Melissa.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
A woman in Australia complained on TikTok about how people who work for places like Instacart suck at picking out fruits and vegetables, but it went viral because how she pronounces broccoli. And I'm just going to see if I can play this for you guys real quick here. I don't know.
And pick the items for like the online orders. I just have a question. Are you like not allowed to give us the good produce? Because I never get good stuff. And today I bought some broccoli, and you pay for broccoli per head, not per kilo.
Okay. Well, I can't listen to her anymore. You heard the way she pronounced broccoli. Broccoli. She was pronouncing it broccoli.
Broccoli, yeah.
To me just sounded like she was... It sounds like somebody who was trying to sound important. Didn't really sound like how that was her actual voice. It made people question whether they'd been saying it wrong their whole life, though. But broccoli is closer to the original Italian word, so keep just doing it the way you always have. It's apparently how a lot of people in Australia used to say it, and some pronounce it that way, though. So that is...
They must have watched Martin Short. No. Dana Carvey on SNL.
Yes, yes.
That song got in their head.
Broccoli.
Chocolate broccoli.
Broccoli. it's one of the most passionate performances ever.
Oh, I love
that. He really gets into it, too.
It's
like,
hilarious.
I remember, I've gone back and watched it in recent years. Like, wow, I forgot how into that he gets. Yes. He gets really passionate about it. Broccoli. I don't know. I am curious to know if she's pronouncing it that way on purpose or not, though. Because I think that's the way it comes across. It sounds like it doesn't.
It's a choice. Mm-hmm. I think she made that choice.
Mm-hmm.
The one catch I have here is if she has, you know, a speech problem or something, and that, but that doesn't seem to be the case. I think we can have some fun with this one because I don't think it's one of those things where she has a speech problem or something.
Do we add that to the whole tomato tomato? Broccoli, broccoli.
Do we? Oh, good question. Good question. That's an interesting. I think we got to wait on that one.
Okay.
I think we got to wait on that one. But maybe we'll get to put it.
There are so many words though in the English language that we pronounce differently in different parts of the world,
mm-hmm.
and you can kind of tell where somebody's from usually by how they say some words or which words they choose to say, like bubbler or water fountain.
Soda or pop.
Talked about.
Well, yep. And even, you know, the way that we pronounce the same word, like broccoli, broccoli.
Yeah.
If you're in Canada, it's not proceed. It's proceed or mm-hmm. instead of proceed. proceed.
Instead
it just
proceed.
Yeah, mm. or process mm. rather than process. So it's where you put that emphasis and how you pronounce mm-hmm. that vowel. But there, I mean, we have clergy up in Canada that I talk to, and it's always amusing to listen to them pronounce certain words because it's not the way that we're used to hearing them.
Mm-hmm. And we make choices on how we say our words, too, mm-hmm. sometimes. Like, I like to say weekend. Mm-hmm. I just like how mm-hmm. it sounds like that, mm-hmm. but that's not how we usually pronounce it here mm-hmm. in the States. It's weekend.
I think it's one of the funnest things in the world to me is the way we talk, the way we say different mm-hmm. words, and the way we say the same word differently in different parts of the country or different parts of the world. I will say, I think the most science fiction moment in every alien movie to me is when they adapt to English language right away, when they pick up the English language like that, in a snap. Like, that's the most sci-fi thing to me in the world. Like, no way. Mm-hmm. I don't care how advanced your species is or how far you've come. There's no way you figured out cool and cool and the way we do that
right.
like that, like just instantly. No way. Every alien movie should begin with them just spending the first hour of the movie trying to understand the English language.
Right.
Like that, just goodness. Sitting there with a bunch of dictionaries and Funkin' Wagnalls and mm-hmm. all. They're like, I don't understand these people. Yeah, we'll get to taking over. We'll get to the invasion. But first, I got to figure out what these words mean. Like,
what is this idiom?
Yeah, I don't understand. What are idioms? What is it? Wait. They got idioms? I haven't even gotten to that yet. I'm still trying to figure out. Oh, okay, fine. We're going to have to put off the invasion, everybody. We're going to work on this. We'll get to it maybe next year. For now, we're also going to take a break. We'll come back and have some more fun on the morning show at WFHR.
I'd like to thank the guy who wrote the song that made my baby fall in love with me. Who put the bomb in the bomb, bomb, bomb? Who put the rhyme in the ram-a-lam-a ding dong? Who put the bop in the
Welcome back, everyone. Morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Melissa, Beth, James here with you, bopping around, doing
yeah.
a little. Good one right there. If you're blasting the radio because you don't want to miss a word we say, thank you. We appreciate
yes.
that. Seriously, thank you very much for that. But if you're doing it to stay awake, you might have a serious health condition.
Oh.
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah. A study found people who employ alertness strategies behind the wheel are more likely to have sleep apnea.
Hmm.
Researchers polled around 100 people with sleep apnea and 100 people who didn't have it. And the ones who did were far more likely to use three or more strategies to avoid dozing off while driving. The three most common strategies were blasting the radio, driving with the windows down, and chugging coffee nonstop.
Mm-hmm.
Other yep. strategies include eating, chewing gum, shifting around in your seat, pulling over to take naps, and splashing cold water on your face.
Hmm.
If you regularly do stuff like that to make sure you don't fall asleep at the wheel, you might have sleep apnea and aren't getting a solid night's sleep.
Hmm.
First off,
interesting indicator.
Yeah.
It feels a bit of like a reach, but it is. If it gets people to get tested for sleep apnea, good on you, because every human being should be tested for sleep apnea.
Mm.
Even if you don't have sleep apnea, chances are you may be dealing with a sleep disorder or something that is affecting your sleep.
Right.
And we do not take enough time on this. We do not do enough in school. We don't do enough research on this. It is probably as far as health things go, it's like our feet. We don't pay attention to them until something's going wrong. We just kind of keep doing our mm-hmm. thing. Sleep. Well, we've known how to sleep since before anything, before we even knew how to spell our names, before we knew how to tie our shoes. We've been sleeping. I got this down. I know how to sleep. Maybe you don't. I know. I never learned.
I don't know.
I've never learned.
Babies have a hard time sometimes.
It
is right,
true.
Right? Yeah.
It is very true.
Ask my parents about that. Yeah.
And they're coming up with more and more research of how important sleep is. You know, we're being told more and more often that we need good, solid sleep, and we need a certain length of it that many of us aren't getting. And yet, that's the first thing to go when we have busy schedules.
Yeah.
Yep.
As somebody who does have sleep apnea, I would say that I've never had trouble staying awake when I'm driving.
Mm.
But I'm not a truck driver. You know, most of my daily driving involves 10-15 minute trips. Right. You know, I don't have the longest trip I usually take is going up north to see my daughter, or up north, up to Appleton, like, you know, to see my daughter or something like that. And that's a couple hour drive. That's not too bad. So I don't know. I'd like to know what they're talking about when they're saying that people are having trouble staying awake. What is the distance they're talking about here? I'm a little curious about that. But regardless, people having trouble staying awake, being behind the wheel, is one of the more dangerous things that we do as human beings, period. Yes. Like, we do a lot of dangerous stuff as human beings, not only to each other, but to ourselves, let alone this, where we're driving these gigantic machines around and you're taking the chance of falling asleep behind the wheel.
Well, if I remember correctly, they've done studies that say sleep deprivation can be very similar to driving drunk.
Yep.
Depending on how sleep deprived you are.
Oh, yeah, Kim. As somebody who has been awake before many times in his life for 3-4 days at a time, they are not lying. They are not lying. It is. I don't dream like lucidly. My dreams tend to be really boring and black and white and very realistic and all that. But with lucid, in those moments where I've gone like 4 days without sleeping or anything like that, all of a sudden it's all just like Salvador Dali in my brain. Like, everything's just weird and wacky. And unlike dreams where you know, okay, this ain't right. Like, I need sleep. I'm starting up. Nope, okay. I'm seeing the melting clocks. Yep, Daliism's happening. I need to sleep. It's time. What are techniques that you use to stay awake or to wake yourselves up? Every morning I pretty much start out throwing cold water in my face. That really works for me. I know that that's if nothing else will work, like cold water in the face for me. Do you do anything, Melissa? Because I know you've got an early schedule too.
Well, when I'm driving, or are you just talking about waking
just in general? Just waking up in general, yeah.
I drink coffee in the morning. That is my kind of go-to wake up.
What about you, Beth?
I start with a glass of water and then go right to the coffee.
Nice.
Yeah, water's the smart thing to start with.
Well, if you think about it, you haven't had anything to drink in, you know, 6, 7, 8, you know, however many hours, and your body starts to get a little dehydrated. And they always say if you're starting to feel tired, it may be also associated with dehydration. So the best thing you can do is drink water. So to start the day with a glass of water, and I've had to create this routine. I didn't always do it, but I'm finding the benefit. I get my coffee mug and I go for the faucet first, and I won't let myself have that first cup of coffee until I've had my first cup of water.
What about, have you ever had troubles with this, where you're driving a long distance and staying awake? What do you do to stay awake then? Have either of you been in that situation? I have not, so.
Oh, yeah. I'll try to call somebody and talk.
Oh, yeah.
So,
because
I find if I'm in a conversation, I'm more engaged.
Yeah, I can see that.
No, I definitely have done that as well, where I will have lost, like, I don't remember driving between this space and this space. Like, I passed by Black River Falls and I don't remember it.
Yeah.
And that was, you know, when I was in my probably late teens, early 20s. But I do the typical open the window, turn the music up loud. I didn't really drink a whole lot of caffeine, maybe soda when I was younger. I didn't drink coffee though, but. Yeah,
sometimes
usually
I'll snack.
Radio. Sing. I try to sing because that's active and I keeps me awake.
And that is where I go, Melissa.
Yep.
The singing. I talk to the radio. I sing along with the radio. I do a lot of that. That keeps me very awake, very engaged. It even helps me focus a little bit. It's part of my morning routine oftentimes, where I will come in to work and I'll be doing, if I feel like I need vocal exercises, one of the things I'll do is singing. It helps. In most every song that you'll sing along to, it's going to stretch out your syllables, stretch out your S's and Z's and a lot of those things that I struggle with. So it's a really nice, like, kind of like a fun kind of warm-up exercise. To me, at least, it seems to work. I don't know, but I do like that. I do agree with the whole talking to somebody or the music loud and singing along with. That seems to work. In you know, in spring or summer, the cold air at night can really do it for me, too.
Yeah.
That one wakes me up.
Yes.
I wanted to touch on just a couple of interesting things here before we hit the top of the hour. And don't forget, we've got the kitchens open to kick off the 9 o'clock hour. Looking forward to that. Mm-hmm, it's going to be fun. I thought this was an interesting thing I came across. Lainey Smoot, a Disney research fellow and longtime member of Walt Disney's Imagineering Research and Development, is being inducted into the National Inventors Hall of Fame.
Yay.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, yeah. He is the first Disney engineer, Imagineer, to receive this prestigious recognition, and only the second individual from the Walt Disney Company to be inducted. The first being Walt Disney.
Of course.
Honored posthumously in 2000 for the multiple cameras, multiplane camera. Smoot and his fellow class of 2024 inductees will formally be honored in Washington, D.C. on Thursday, May 9th.
Good for him.
Cool. Yeah. This is a guy who literally worked alongside Disney, but worked along with all of his counterparts and everything. And really one of the game changers in the way that we take in Disney entertainment.
Yeah.
This gentleman. He's noteworthy, and I'm not expecting many people to remember Lainey Smoot's name even after this conversation, but it just speaks to all the people behind the scenes that make these things happen, that entertain us and entertain our kids and give us 5 minutes of bliss so we can go get a cup of coffee or something like that while our kids are watching TV. No, it's so cool to me. First off, that the Imagineer title is a legitimate title now.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that's very cool to me.
From the start of the Walt Disney Company, that's what he used to refer to his idea makers as Imagineers, because they were engaging their imagination to engineer things.
I imagine, and for those that don't know, catching you up, Beth worked behind the scenes a little bit over at Walt at Disney a bit and everything. And even wherever level you're at in that company, I imagine there's a lot of this, that there is that what we're going to present, and then, of course, what we're doing and what you know, the actual tinkering and details and all the logistics and things to go on behind the scenes. That's always been interesting to me about the whole entire Disney process, not just Disney World or any of those things.
Right. Well, Disney always, it's an entertainment company, and so they use a lot of the entertainment terms. So if you think about a production, you know, what you see when you come to the theater are the actors on the stage. What you don't see is all of the people behind the stage helping with the sets, the props, the costumes, directing, the sound, the lights. But it takes all of it to have a good production. And it's the same way anywhere you go. You often don't realize what the work that's being done behind the scenes to make what you're experiencing possible.
Smoot and his team are responsible for 100 patents. Of that total, 74 of his patents were created during his 25 years at the Walt Disney Company. Quote, at Disney Experiences, we're committed to world-class storytelling, creativity, and innovation in everything we do. And it really shows. It really shows. Nice. Congratulations to him. I thought that's a pretty cool story. Cool. Coming up in the 9 o'clock hour, we'll get into a little bit of entertainment news. I want to touch on this Pauly Shore, Richard Simmons biopic. Do you guys remember, and I think actually Beth was with us when we got into this, the guy who stole the ruby slippers from The Wizard of Oz?
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, yeah.
We finally got a follow-up to that story. How wild is it that you're in with us whenever that happens?
Yeah.
That's funny. Awesome. We'll get to that and plenty more coming up in the 9 o'clock hour right here. No, you take it, Kat.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM, and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.